Hey guys.
This is a video game-based podcast called Get in the Car Gamer.
The opinions and ideas expressed within are solely ours. They should not be taken seriously by anyone.
So lighten up or light up.
And enjoy the show.
Hey, get in the car, gamer.
They shall belong to us.
Round one, fight.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you're all doing well. Welcome to another beautiful day in podcast land. I am Josh Lomar, and with me, as always,
Kevin Clay.
And this is the Get in the Car Gamer podcast, where I change up the intro every single time.
You never know how it's going to happen.
You really don't. I just like to keep it fresh.
Maybe if somebody's keeping track or playing bingo at home, you know, maybe we'll eventually get there.
Maybe
in this situation. Maybe formation.
I don't want to promise anything. I hope you guys are doing wonderful. It is a beautiful spring day out there.
Goodness gracious, it is.
You know, maybe drop the sticks for just a little bit, get some fresh air. Yes. Come back and then pick the sticks back up.
Yes, today would be a beautiful day to maybe just start running around outside until you're so tired you have to go back in
right.
game.
Bro, your hat is like on your chair. Do you know what happened?
I lost it.
It's like look on the screen. It looks like you're wearing it.
Hold on. As long as I stay here, I look like the coolest fucking guy.
Yeah, dude.
Ever.
Oh, this dude like puts his hat on backwards, super light. Look at this guy. He doesn't care, dude.
Look at how light it is.
You go like walk around with your hat on a stick, so it just looks like it's floating like on your head. Show him.
Everybody.
We got Jeffrey Epstein.
I just wanted everyone
playing a video game. See, AI is a beautiful thing. We have definitive proof.
Not only is that a controller, that's definitely
via my
one
secret,
man's hand.
Via my secret sources, I've been sent serious intel about Jeffrey Epstein and what he James on. Anyway, we got a great podcast for you guys today. We're going to be talking about the Japanese police kicking doors in and busting criminals. We're also going to be talking about 70% of devs apparently are unsure about live service games. And at the end, we're going to talk about Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. It's twice as big and twice as juicy.
Twice as hard.
Yeah. And it's going to come. All right, so, Kevin.
Yes.
What has been going down, my dude?
It has been good. It's been well. I have started a new RPG, one of the chess type RPGs, the tag where you like tactics them around on a board. Yes.
Yeah. Not my favorite way of playing a game.
A replica.
Yeah.
Not tactics. Not your.
It's
fave.
It's just. If I wanted to do that, I'll play chess.
I understand. You know? It definitely...
It's like a very fun version of chess that can tell a story.
It is.
You know?
It's like, wow, why can't we add, political intrigue in chess?
Right.
Why isn't chess Game of Thrones? Mm-hmm. And that's all they've done.
Why isn't the rook fucking the queen behind the king's back? I don't know.
But it could be. Mm-hmm. You know? And, like, I would pay good money to see it.
Correct.
Not going to go out of my way right now to see how much hentai there has been drawn of chess. I can only imagine it's in the tens of thousands of images of drawn pornography of chess. But I'm not very far into it. It's been going all right. But it's doing this thing where I'm playing this game because I really want to play Final Fantasy Tactics. So at some point in this, it's either going to be so good that I forget that I wanted to play Final Fantasy Tactics,
okay,
or I'll shut it like a book and just go play Final Fantasy Tactics,
there
what
you.
I really want to
okay.
do. Right. Plus, I've got four big RPGs on my stack that like
time consuming
need playing.
Time
yeah,
consuming.
They are. It's a. I mean, I just played one for the Super Nintendo. It took me 40 fucking hours to do. It's a bitch. Like, I was like, oh, 16 bits. That's all they had. That's all they had. And
couldn't squeeze in a couple more, huh? Couldn't.
Oh, they got it in there.
No round edges.
All
right.
No, not at all. And then I go on How Long to Beat right after that. Like, I'm like, oh, I did it in 42 hours. Cool. I go on How Long to Beat, and these people are like, yeah, the average just takes about 22 hours. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. I'm not.
Were you screwing around? Were you just?
I did 4 hours of like straight up mindless, not even looking at the screen much, grinding.
Right.
So, but if you take that away, I'm still 16 hours over the average. Mm-hmm. I dibbity doubt it.
Yeah.
Now, in every game I play, there's always a built-in bit of time. It's this time.
Oh, sure. So, I mean, that is
a little bit
something to be considered.
I was screwing around maybe a little bit,
right?
But not,
we'll say 45 minutes total.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like,
and then realistic. Also someone was like, on average, each character has 50 minutes of dialogue. And I was like, Jesus, 14 characters, guys.
My God.
Like 14 times. I was like doing math. I was like, okay, whatever.
I often wonder who they pulled for that average. You know what I mean? Like,
what a good
were
question.
You at a gaming convention for RPGs or something? You know what I mean? Specifically, because maybe that average will be a lot lower.
And
you know?
What type of super turbo nerd,
mm-hmm.
such as myself, mm-hmm. would go to a website to find out how long a game is, let alone
right.
log how long they took? Hold on. 22 hours. You know, like, I found that very humorous. Other than that, it's been pretty much the same. No, okay. no big leaps. Haven't really started anything.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tight. All right. Well, I've just been playing a little bit here and there, just a little Gotham Knights.
Just trying to get through it.
Just chipping away at that story. Just trying to get through it.
Do you feel as if you are close to the end, or do you have any recollection of how?
I really hope I am. I haven't looked into it. I haven't, gandered. I'm afraid if I look into it and it's like, hey, you're like 50% there, I might not finish it.
Oh, no. Yeah, there's no way. You can't. Let's ask the turbo nerds.
I've got like a bunch of Far Cry games to play.
Oh, I know.
I've
you bought like every single Far Cry. Man, they're saying the turbo nerds are saying one run through on average of Gotham Knights is 17 hours long.
All right. Well, I'm not that. I'm like maybe 8 to 10. I don't know. I'd have to look at my Steam account.
All right.
But.
And they're basically like, it's 16 hours long. And if you play all four characters, you'll have played for 48 hours. God bless.
I've never. Okay, I won't.
Yeah, right.
And I do not do side missions.
No.
Like, I'm like legit going as fast as I can.
Okay.
Like, you can.
Sprinting.
Oh, you can fast travel to the tower.
Oh.
Like, you can be out in the world and just be like, it's time to go to the tower and progress the story.
Okay.
And so I'm literally just doing that over and over. And I took the time to go through and get all the fast travel points throughout the whole map.
Ooh.
So, which
very
didn't,
good.
Didn't take long. It was not that difficult.
Riding your governed motorcycle.
You have to go, you literally go, go to a quadrant and there's going to be like two drones. You have to like observe for 10 seconds. And you go.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were doing such sick, cool Batman shit as looking at drones for 10 seconds.
That's it. You scan them. You just bat scanning.
I had no idea Gotham Knights was so good. I understand why you're only 10 hours
hold
through
on.
It.
Let me hop on my bike and go mediocrely slow. Like, just
38.
Literally, I'm not above 40. Not in Gotham. We're in the city limits.
It's a speed. There's this. They call it the speed limit.
Yeah,
for a
reason. It's the upper limit.
You keep like jamming on the R2 button more and more, and he just like points at a sign as you go by it.
He literally speeds up like so fast and just goes and just like settles into like
a bad
cruise.
GTA San Andreas car.
Yeah, like
where you'd be like, all right, let's go. Yeah, we're moving. We're getting away from the car. What the fuck
and
is this?
No, exactly.
What
just,
is this?
Exactly. It just tops out and that's it. And that. So yeah, as a point of reference, that's how frustrating it is.
My boy's on the Grand Theft Auto Faggio, just
and
going
it's
28.
It's shame on me. It's just a bad, you know, right now I don't have a whole lot of time to do stuff like play video games, and it's like killing me. Cause like,
that's all right. We just need to get you moved and establish, you know, your gamer section, your square,
sure,
your area,
sure.
And you could be like, finally, close the door. Lock it, throw away the key. It's gamer time.
All right, you want to hop in?
Abso-freaking-lutely. We are starting with an article that's near and dear to my heart. It may surprise you all. I don't know. It's definitely surprised me. Let's come on, iPad. Any day now. Oh, there he is.
Oh.
Japanese police.
Little
IGN says
Pikachu.
Anthony Wood, by way of IGN, says Japanese police arrest 36-year-old man on suspicion of tampering with Pokemon Violet save data.
I really hope that like SWAT like rappelled down the side of a building and just like threw a flashbang through the window.
Just Rainbow Six shit.
Boom. Go. And they just jump in and literally just tase this dude.
I don't know. I mean, we're going to find out that he's definitely got worked in one way or another over Pokemon. Police in Japan have arrested a 36-year-old man on suspicion of allegedly selling illegally modified Pokemon save data to customers online, a practice which is banned under Japan's 2019 Unfair Competition Prevention Act, which I will pull up and just... Oh, it's in Japanese. Fantastic.
All right,
I don't speak that. As reported... by the Japanese website NHK News, and translated by Automaton, the suspect was apprehended by police on April 9th after a police cyber patrol, hearing a lot of stuff, discovering evidence that the individual had used special tools to illegally modify save data for Pokemon Violet in order to change Pokemon movesets. A 36-year-old man was arrested
for
selling illegally modified Pokemon save data.
That's so funny.
The 36-year-old allegedly took custom orders for rare Pokemon and sold the resulting tampered data between December 2022 to March 2023 for up to $84 at a time? Woo!
He made a fucking total of $1,732,
and it'll be his downfall that he made any money at all.
Jesus.
A time on a website that served as a marketplace for video game assets and items. He also offered deals.
Pokemon. It has political clout. Pokemon.
Yes. No. These are the type of things that can
change
nations.
What's the company
nations.
That owns Pokemon?
Game Freak. By way of Nintendo.
Yeah. Game Freak freaks on all the politicians.
Yeah.
And they're like they kowtow.
And they're mad that somebody freaked their game.
Right.
I think that's the most fucked up part.
Yeah, no, there's too much freaking going on, and they don't like freaking over there.
The 36-year-old has reportedly admitted to committing the crimes at the heart of the ongoing investigation while providing the justification that he did it to earn a living. According
just trying to get out here and pay my bills, Chief.
I'm just trying to make these digital monsters do my bidding.
I gotta pay for this crippling hentai addiction one way or the other.
The account keeps overdrawing. the suspect could face up to 5 years in imprisonment and or a fine of up to $32,600.
Jesus.
Before I continue, I have an anecdote for you all.
Oh yeah.
I'm not poisoned.
I don't need no anecdote.
I'm sorry. As a younger lad.
Yeah.
I played a competitive Pokemon. I enjoyed it. I would go online against other gladiators with my team of between 3 to 6 fake
nerds.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. I would digital dog fight.
That's awesome.
With other human beings.
Did you like tether?
No, it's all on. It was all online at that
point. Oh, okay.
It was all online, so nothing like that. But I would play, and I got really into breeding Pokemon because they have to have these like really certain numbers, like need to be maxed out, and you can't see the numbers like natively. You can go talk to a guy who will like give you like an answer, and then you look at the answer, and that tells you a number of, like value. Like let's say I need his inert attack number, like his growth rate, it's like between 0 and 31 for attack, and I have a Pokemon that I need just physical attack to be really powerful, so it needs to be 31, that number. Yeah. And if I breed a Pokemon that's 30, you throw that and then Fallout Incinerator.
How old were you when you were doing this?
College, 19.
Oh, dude, I thought you were going to tell me you were 11 or 20. Something. And
no,
I,
no way.
Because I was like, you're a genius.
No.
How did you even,
no,
like...
but nerds had already figured all this out.
Okay.
So I would breed the Pokemon and I on my DS, and I would go, wow, this is annoying as shit. Because there is almost zero way to, like, make sure they're good. You have to, like, make 30 of them, and you're like, here's my good one. You throw all the rest of them away.
Yeah, right.
Until I found out you can just hack the Pokemon. You just make them.
Okay.
And so I downloaded a program, and I was like, oh, you can just make whatever Pokemon you want. You can make illegal Pokemon. I was just interested in making legal ones that were perfect, so I could skip all the bullshit.
Okay. You know?
Give it all its training. Make it level 100. Yeah. Give it the...
I just want to enjoy the story. Let's go.
Well, I just wanted to fight other people. I played the fucking shit out of the story. Oh, okay. I just wanted... The best.
You were going to fight people. Did they have the best also? And
yes.
It's just down to luck at that point?
It becomes like, it's kind of like cards. Like, it's like, can I outplay what I think you're going to do? You know, like, because you'll see when we watched the tournament, a dude would literally be like, I'm predicting the next 7 moves you're going to make. And then every single thing he did, he was like, yep. He's like, I'm going to switch out into a fire Pokemon. And he's like, I already used a water move. Like, it's fucked. I killed it. Like, he just knew. And it became, that was the game at that point. But.
Just a whole nother level of.
I downloaded like a jewel thing.
A Pokemon.
Uh-huh. That you put your DS game in.
Yeah.
And then you just like add the Pokemon. You're like. Blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
There was more nerd shit to it. But I never once thought, can I make money on this? I probably should have.
Right.
And number two, I never. In a trillion years, would have thought someone would go to jail for this.
Well, it's Japan. Yeah. They take trademark stuff and all that stuff a little differently. More serious than I think we do.
But we also witnessed an illegal Pokemon be used in an official Pokemon national championship event.
Did you get DQ'd?
Nope. They just had everyone say nothing at all. The only thing that was illegal about it is it was in a Pokeball that it could not legally possibly be in. He only did that because the dude who he got his hacked Pokemon from was like an aesthetic dude, and he like matched the ball to the Pokemon. I shit you not. He was like, the Pokemon's like blue and silver, so I'm going to give you this sexy blue and silver
ball.
This
is the only way that you could get caught.
Right. and then like they were like, yo, that was hacked. And this dude literally, the biggest chat ever, I won't say who it was, but he hopped online and he was like, I play Pokemon for a living. If you think I spend fucking 1 second making these Pokemon, you're out of your motherfucking mind. He was like, I play it.
But like, he did do it?
No, he hacked him. He had him hacked.
Yeah.
He paid a dude to do it. And he was like, we all do it, baby. You think we spend any time making these? No way.
Oh, I thought you were saying the opposite. I thought he was like literally like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. I did fucking pay for it.
Oh no, yeah, he probably. These dudes who make fucking you make what? You win 2 Pokemon tournaments for big ass money. That might could pay for like 5 years of your life. I bet you could pay a dude to make fucking Pokemon. I'm going to a tournament. Make my team. You just start throwing Switch carts at him. Make my team. Make it. Yeah, Pokemon is really fucking. Can you believe all of those things I told you about the hidden values of making a competitive Pokemon?
I mean, I didn't know.
It sucks. I didn't know. It made it so lame. You thought, oh, I'm gonna catch it and raise it. Nope. You caught the worst one. You should have stomped on it. You should have put it in the dirt. I did just want, before we move on, I did just want to say that this is not the first time a Pokemon crime has happened in Japan, and this is the one I really wanted to talk about. It's always cards. A man literally like tried to suction cup his way down a 6-story building with a backpack full of expensive Pokemon cards. It was like he was like...
Like he'd be in need, and he was like, this is how I'm going to get out of
here. And they were like, hey, there's the Pokemon guy. What do you do at that point? You're like, if you don't give me those cards back, I'm going to start shooting a BB gun at you.
Oh, my God. Butt.
And I don't know. I definitely have heard of people pulling big heists for cards. Big heists.
Further down in the article, they bring up some funny things, and like one, apparently, 2 Los Angeles police officers were fired after they ignored a call to attend a burglary in order to chase down a Snorlax in Pokemon Go.
Dude, we can't respond to that.
Dude,
we're
fuck
about to
that
catch
burglary,
it.
Dude. There's a Snorlax right down the street.
There's a B&E happening in the fucking.
And they
lost
their
finest.
Job because of that.
Somebody's finest is catching a pokey, dude.
That's so funny.
Chief, there was a Snorlax in the way, and we didn't have that flute or whatever you're supposed to have to make it go. I'm sorry.
My B. All right.
Pokemon's serious business, dude.
It's real.
I just wanted to let everyone know that.
It sounds like there's an underground world to this that I'm not, my nose isn't prepared for.
Oh my God.
And my eyes aren't worthy.
It's just so nerdy. Like, you're like, wow, Pokemon's pretty cool. Maybe I could play against other people. And it's just like, welcome to the math factory. Are you ready to do math?
Probability.
The time I spent in front of a damage calculator. A damage calculator. To see, like, will it kill it? Nope. Will it kill it? Nope. Will it kill it? Nope. It's stupid, dude.
Goddamn.
It is. It's rough. It's serious business. Let's move on here. Yeah. We've got a game. We've recently been getting a few of these lately.
Yeah, game developer.
GameDeveloper.com.
70% of devs unsure of live service game sustainability. These are the words of Justin Carter. He's a contributing editor of Game Developer. All right, so a new survey from the Game Developer Collective shows concerns over the video game's monetization methods, particularly as it pertains to live service games. 600 developers were interviewed between February and March of 2024. The live service label, according to a representative, 67% and 53% of devs are, according to a respective 67% and 53% of devs are defined by their frequent updates and
between the two.
I
got you.
39% of participants had mild worries over current live service business models. 31% was very concerned.
They were fire concerned. It wasn't mild anymore. It was very spicy.
By a combined 29% were, had no fears or were unsure. So as a February survey from Griffin Gaming Partners revealed that most developers were making live service games. Interestingly, only 35% of the 600 people told the collective they considered their most recent release a live service game. Maybe they're in live service denial. And of those not already using a live service model, 10% think their studio will shift in that direction. How live service games are affecting future games to come. When it comes to live service games, developers are currently split on their industry impact. 44% have a mixed view of them, while 45% hold them in a negative light.
Wow, that's a pretty big percent in a like kind of negative lean.
Well, it kind of speaks to they're creating games out of necessity to pay bills, and they don't really have control over how much they make.
Or what they're doing.
Or what they're doing right. So much. And it's kind of driven by what will satisfy shareholders and make them the most money.
Yes.
You know, in the short term.
It's weird for someone to be like, I'm making a live service game. I don't believe in it. You know, like it must be an anonymous survey or something where you're allowed to like actually speak your mind here. Mm.
Well, it goes on to say that the chief worry, according to the survey, lies in its sustainability. Mm. 63% of the developers worry about the players losing interest. 62% are afraid that other games poaching their players. Mm. And 57% admitted that the difficulty in long-term engagement. There is some truth to that, and what's the soup du jour? The flavor of the month for your first-person shooters, your whatever, and there's only so many gamers, so many games, and so many hours in a day.
This flower grows where there was nothing, and then everybody starts planting around it, mm-hmm. you know, and eventually the garden's completely full, and that's beautiful, but mm-hmm. like in my weird analogy, you can only enjoy a flower at a time. Mm. As a game, you know, mm-hmm. like the when PUBG came out, there was one, you know, there was one battle royale, and then eventually there were three, right? And then now there's a battle royale for every day of the month.
There is
in February. You know what I mean? Like it's and those are all making money somehow. They're all being developed on too, by the way.
Mm. Let's see, paid DLCs on the rise amid the live service unease. There appears to be rising interest in the model of paid DLC. 30% of participants said they were exploring that for the next game. up to 9% from their most recent releases. Mm. Similarly, 76% said they were eyeing an upfront payment, aka digital release, for the next game. 22% were pointed towards a physical release, compared to 27% of current launches.
We're under a quarter.
Yeah, of games being released on disc.
But that also kind of
makes sense, because there's a lot more indie games being put out, a lot smaller games that are digital.
These games that are always online, I've argued for a while, there's no fucking point to making this a disc. You're not even going to put anything on it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going to be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
We get a disc that goes, I'm downloading your game. Love you. Yeah. Now, for your fully downloaded game, go put the disc in your Xbox so that I remember that you own it. Do it.
Yeah, that's basically all it is a key.
It is.
Just
pointing back at you.
All right, so let's round this off. In general, developers appear split on the future of monetization for games. It looks like there's a 1% to 4% difference in future projects having battle passes being included in the subscription service and so on. There's a 1% to 4% difference. Okay, so it's just the difference.
Okay.
There's not a big difference. The Game Developer Collective is a unique panel of over 600 fully verified game developers created in collaboration by Omdia Game Developer and GDC.
Oh, that's fucking sick.
So it seems to be a fairly, you know, it's a verified sample of people.
That and a decent sample size, too.
I'm happy to hear that they are... I'm happy to hear that they're a little weary of paid service games. And that it's not the, at least right now, going to be the only thing that's
right
being done.
It's a lot of it, but it's not all of it.
Right. It said that, like, what, 72% of them are putting out a game
live servicey.
Was it that, or that 76% were saying they were eyeing an upfront payment.
Actually
buying a game.
Right.
Aside from doing a paid service. Like, you know, we've always said the most egregious thing is if you make me pay for a game and then make me pay for
more.
More.
And the more, like, I'm paying for, you clearly cut out of what was there already. Right. We won't even talk about some Atomic Heart.
I think that, like, a paid service game should only be free. And
yeah, I think if you're asking for money on the back end, you shouldn't on the front.
Yeah.
Not that hard. If your revenue stream is not, if you're loss leading the product, then loss lead it.
Mm-hmm.
Because more people will fucking get in front of your storefront, which is, you know, what they're talking about.
Right.
I did like that they asked what their concerns were with the sustainability, and the top two almost tied are, I'm worried that players won't keep playing games like this.
Yeah.
And the very next one was, I'm worried another game like will take them.
Yeah.
And then I won't have them anymore. Right. And what are they going to do about that? You know, when they look at these numbers, I wonder how they,
I think things will settle eventually. Yeah. And there will be a more constant pool of paid service games that have had longevity, and there'll be a couple people trying to break into that little arena, but then there's going to be a separate pool that they're still catering to, like the more traditional.
Your locals. Yeah. There'll be locals, you know.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
That was very interesting to hear from the devs themselves.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope they do more studies.
I agree.
Survey me, Griffin Gaming Partners, Game Developer Collective. Well, let's move on.
Yeah, man.
We have we had a very,
check it out,
a very beautiful announcement here. If you're a fan of the type of kind of like real M-Simi survival game that like makes you work for it, Kingdom Come Deliverance is getting a sequel, and it is on its way. PC Gamer has an article here written by Fraser Brown that says Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. Where's my Kingdom Come at?
I don't know where. Oh, nope, that's the Jamer.
I'll just put my.
He's Jamin.
I'll just here put Big Gamer up, and then we'll put Kingdom Come. All right. It says the misadventures of Henry and Hans continue. Warhorse Studios has finally unveiled what it admits is probably the most public secret in the gaming industry. Kingdom. Well, they kept a secret from me. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, the medieval RPG, is a direct continuation of the 2018 game. Once again, following the peasant-turned-knight Henry, accompanied by his posh mate Hans as they navigate a civil war in 15th century Bohemia.
Cool.
That sounds lit as shit.
Cool.
But also it makes sense as to what Tom said about the game. He said it was just so brutal hard and everything is so, like, sim-y.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
So immersive. Like, maybe
a little too much.
Yeah, like you're like brushing your horse and brushing its teeth and feeding it an apple and making a health potion at an alchemy lab like by like. It's a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot. The first game was a welcome respite from ostentatious magic-filled fantasy RPGs. Its tale of knights and intrigue was grounded in medieval history, bolstered by a charismatic protagonist, long jaunts through the Bohemian countryside, and tricky first-person duels. Between its adherence to realistic physics and the importance of positioning and the direction of your attacks, it proved to be challenging to master, but incredibly reactive and, most importantly, satisfying when you nailed a strike and took down an enemy knight. The first-person combat system is unsurprisingly returning, and from the looks of things, seems to be as pleasingly brutal and complex as ever. Quote, "We want you to feel the sword in your hand," says Victor Bocan, design and combat director.
Is this going
to
be a VR game, or...
It
sounds like it would like
they could suit it they might could
pretty
do that.
Well.
It's so long. You'd have to I'm going to take a break now.
Yeah. I have a migraine.
Good night, Bohemia.
I'm going to take off this hat or these earmuffs.
He says, "We want you to feel threatened by the enemies and we want you to fight for your life." Thanks to some new additions, ranged combat is also getting more love. One of Kingdom Come Deliverance's anachronisms was the absence of crossbows and early firearms, but this has been rectified for the sequel. You're now going to be able to pummel your enemies with lead and bolts. Judging by the firearm clip in the reveal trailer, they're going to be pretty devastating. But given Warhorse's sensibilities when it comes to realism and the depths of the simulation, they're probably going to be incredibly slow and more than a bit fiddly. You're still going to have to get up close with your swords and blunt melee weapons.
Damn.
They say when Warhorse started work on its first game, it was an 11-person studio making an impressive, if buggy, feat. Now it's 250 people working very hard for years. What we're making now is what it was supposed to be in the beginning, but we weren't able to do it because we didn't have enough resources and experience and all that stuff.
That's awesome.
This is a very exciting story of a developer going out on a limb, making a game that is not easy, not cheery or flowery or cute or high fantasy unicorn type shit. It's like, this is one of those games that I potentially could enjoy this because I like games that are like, yeah, you're just a dude.
Yeah.
You're just a regular guy.
They did like a Knight's Tale.
It is a Knight's Tale. You know what I mean? Because you start and you're like
a peasant.
You're like farming. You're like shoveling shit.
Yeah.
You know, you're have some gruel. Like yeah. You're nobody. And by the time you put on armor, it's probably been fucking 12 hours in the game. You know,
he must be a knight. How do you know he's a knight? He's not covered in shit.
Yeah.
You know, like
that's a sick movie. I haven't seen that in a really long time. It's one of those that's like, ooh, warms my soul a little bit. Knight's Tale. Not Gladiator though. Gladiator does not warm the soul.
It's a good movie though.
It is a good movie.
I'm making a sequel.
Excuse me?
Yeah, they're making a Gladiator sequel.
Dude, movies are fucked. I'm so glad we don't do a movie podcast. Movies are fucked. They're making a sequel to Gladiator
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, he's not in it. Russell Crowe's not in it.
They just put Colin McGregor and Jake Gyllenhaal in something and called it Roadhouse. You know that, right?
Oh, I know that. What's his face? Joel in Last of Us.
Oh, okay, Pedro?
Pedro Pascal.
He's in it?
He's the, I think, main character, I think.
I'm going to gladiate. That's what he's going
to
say.
Gonna and he's going to have a little mustache. Gladiate.
I'm fixing to gladiate this mother right now. It goes on a little bit. I just wanted to skip down to what this guy
Denzel's
was saying about the
it.
RPGs. What?
Yeah.
Gladiator 2 is going to be banging. What you do? I'm not going to do a Denzel. I'm done. I almost did it. But I'm done. I reeled it in. You know, the other day, Liz said that Trump said something, and my
Your hand
went up, and then I was like, wipe it away. She doesn't need this right now. and then in my head, it was just like, wrong. get him out of here.
Damn.
Get him out. I digress. What Bokan says about the RPG aspects of the game now that they have all these people creating it, this masterful world, is it says that this all means that it's actually on you who you want to be. You can save the world or you can help punish it for its sins. Despite the impetus for Henry's journey being a grim one, the slaughter of his village, he's such a nice lad that I would feel awful taking him down a dark path is what the guy's reading it or writing this article says. I just wanted to say to everybody, when there is a good and bad path in games, don't be scared to be the bad guy. They wrote a whole game for that.
I kind of like go situationally, and sometimes you'll go a little more heavy handed on,
right?
Am I going to be good or bad or whatever? Yeah. And it could be on a whim sometimes because if you go all good or go all bad, you know you're going to go all good or all bad.
You're like, I've decided.
And it can be tricky sometimes. I have been tricked and been like, oh, that wasn't the ethical choice, huh? I guess that reflects on me.
Right.
A little
or
poorly.
A good RPG will like both answers will be like, okay, well, some good stuff happened, but...
Oh, yeah, it could be, you know, it's still both are bad and both are good.
Yeah, like this
just
is
in different ways.
Shit, man. In Fallout New Vegas, there's this big mission where you have to, like, choose where the power from the substation goes, like, to different areas of the town of Vegas, and you're like, it's all on me to decide that. That's a pretty big deal, because there's only so much power, right?
Right.
And if you just so happen to have bullied a kid out of his toy gun before you get there, you realize that one of the options for the power has the same... label as your toy gun, and it's not a toy gun. You can divert all the power in Vegas that is coming from that substation to an orbital fucking rail gun strike. That's what the gun does. It goes bloop bloop, and then an orbital rail gun. and you go, damn, boy. Fuck Vegas, dude. I've got the sickest gun in the world. Sometimes. I want there to be that kind of decision because it forces you to look deep inside. Oh, he's still there. It forces you to look deep inside your soul at, do I want this power? Fuck these people. They don't need power.
Damn.
I need it. It's for me.
Well, sometimes you need to make an executive decision.
Yeah. So you guys get ready. There's another fucking 100-hour banger MSIM RPG headed your way. It's and it's coming this year.
Henry and Hans.
Get ready to be that meme, the parry this you fucking casual guy.
Is that what that's from?
The knight with the gun. That's it's not from this, but you can be him.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I'm excited about.
I don't know why. I'm so silly. All right. Anyway. Yeah. So that's a podcast.
Yeah, it sure is. Thank you guys so much for coming to our podcast. I was just imagining in Sekiro, somebody has guns. Like, if there's a few guns, and I was like, make a Dark Souls with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Make a Dark Souls with guns.
Yo, real quick, what's the name of the other, the PlayStation Japanese one?
Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah, that's coming to PC. Yeah.
Your boy will be playing that. Yes. You will need to, because I've heard that called banger and a half.
Yes.
Yes. So, thank you guys so much for coming to our show. We are a video games podcast. We're available everywhere podcasts are consumed, but the home base is at soundcloud.com/getinthecardgamer and on Spotify. So please check us out there. Please like us and subscribe us and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. We're also a live Twitch stream. Live Mondays and Thursdays at twitch.tv/getinthecargamer. We would love for you to come join the Twitch chat and say a little something and just enjoy the show before it even hits the airwaves. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you can
yeah.
be there live. As
live,
a,
live, live.
Yeah, in attendance. And then we got, look, right here, we just got a spam bot hitting us. Thank you, SpamBot.
Oh, shit. Thanks, SpamBot.
Yeah, thank you, SpamBot. I will never do any of your services, and I will never need them. Until next time, guys, we thank you so much for being a part of our podcast community. Discord links in every asterisk episode.
It should be.
Get in there, episode description. So please check us out there as well. Until next time, guys, it's time to get out of the car. Bye-bye.
Love you all.
Peace. We'll be right back.